Hello and welcome to the recorded line of a Vision for You Big Book Study. Next up on a Vision for You Sunday Special Edition. This Sunday, July 20th, a Vision for You Second Anniversary Special Presentation. 12 recovered compulsive overeaters will share on the step which was most life-changing, most transforming for them. Come celebrate with us. And Sunday, July 27th, A Vision for You presents Chapter 7, Working with Others. These presentations will prove to be very powerful and encouraging. Please come join us.
Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July 17th, 2014. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 95, the paragraph beginning, If He Is Not Interested. Today's readers are Nancy S. on the 12 Steps, Joanne L. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Helena, Anita L., Larry, and Irini. The reference number for yesterday, July 16th, is 6652. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy S. to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Kathy. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This is Nancy S. from Wisconsin, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy. And I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. This is Joanne L., newly recovered in New Jersey. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we will resume our study of the Big Book on page 95, the paragraph beginning, if he is not interested. I will now ask Helena to begin our reading.
Good morning. This is Helena, recovered in New Jersey. Page 95. If he is not interested in your solution, if he expects you to act only as a banker for his financial difficulties or a nurse for his sprees, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. This he may do after he gets hurt some more. If he is sincerely interested and wants to see you again, ask him to read this book in the interval. After doing that, he must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. He should not be pushed or prodded by you, his wife, or his friends. If he is to find God, the desire must come from within. I'd like to make a few comments on these two paragraphs. We are talking about the newcomer, the person that we are reaching out to. We are not interested in pushing our solution on a newcomer. This is the first visit. We have done a lot in this first visit. We've attempted to find out what is making this person tick. We're attempting to find out, are they really an alcoholic? Do they acknowledge that, a compulsive overeater? Do they acknowledge that themselves? Do they want to know the solution? We are doing this in order that we can stay abstinent ourselves. And our talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding. We've reached out to this person. We're now near the end of that visit, first visit, our first talk with that person. And once again, we are told this person must decide for themselves if they want to go through. And the solution is going to involve finding God. That is the basis of the solution to compulsive overeating to someone who is truly an addict. I'm interested in that first paragraph that I read, too, because I read it so many times in the years I've been in OA, and it didn't make much sense to me. But the line in that paragraph now that makes a lot of sense to me is that if he's not interested and expects me to just act as a nurse for his sprees, I may have to drop him until he changes his mind. And to me, I have been someone that just wanted a nurse for my sprees, and I have people sometimes who reach out to me that it feels as if they just want me to be a nurse for their sprees. That is, I didn't really want the solution. I wanted you to listen to me every time I got into difficulty, but I didn't really want to take the steps. I didn't really want to change. I wanted comfort. I wanted fellowship. I wanted someone that would hold my hand every time I did something over and over again. And we're actually interested in reaching out to someone who wants to change, who wants the solution. Pass.
Thank you, Helena. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Arlene?
Larry?
Arlene, Larry. Did I hear someone else?
Kim?
Kim, okay. Okay, let's start with those three. Go ahead, Arlene.
Thank you. This is Eileen. I'm a compulsive eater from Bedford, Mass. I haven't been on this meeting for a while, and it's a pleasure to be here. If he is not interested in your solution, he expects you to act only as a banker for his financial difficulties or a nurse for his sprees, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. The desire to change has got to come from within. And it says here, the last line of the second paragraph, he is to find God. The desire must come from within. I totally agree with this because it took me so long to get the willingness to surrender the sugar and flour. You know, no one could have said anything to me, no one in or out of program, to get me to put down the sugar and the flour and have that tight of a hold of me. But I am so grateful to have, I've been back since 2004 now, working this fellowship the best of my ability, working the steps, putting a God in my life. You know, my mother just passed away 2.5 weeks ago, and she had a long fight with dementia. But she didn't give up. She persevered till the very end. And that's how I want to be, and that's how I think I am. Just like with I didn't give up with abstinence and trying to get it. I hung in there, and God finally blessed me with it. But anyway, I want to listen to others. Thank you very much for choosing me to share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Eileen. Larry, please go ahead.
Thanks, Kathy K. Appreciate your service. Larry, recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. You know, Bill wrote with a lot, he wrote so beautifully, and he gave us a lot of different ways to describe things so we can identify. And he uses the one, you know, the nurse or the banker. You know, a banker, you know, you go in the bank and you make deposits and they take your money. And sometimes you go to the bank and you, well, nowadays, we might not go into the bank, but back then, we'd go into the bank, you make your deposits, you might come in, you make your withdrawals. That is indeed how I, you know, in the throes of my disease and illness, that's what I was looking for, really. I wanted somebody, you know, that when there was a crisis, and there was crisis, when was there crisis? Hour upon hour, you know, every day there was crisis, and I just wanted to make a deposit and withdraw. You know, I wanted to, that person, you know, that person, if you will, just like the food was my higher power, that person could be my higher power. Maybe that person will get me well. It took me a long while to realize that I had to have a spiritual awakening to get well. And the way that I was to get a spiritual awakening to get well was by working these steps. And I heard it. I certainly can understand the words. I read the big book. You know, I just wasn't willing to do it. That just was my case. I wasn't willing to do it. And as long as I wasn't willing to do it, I would continue to want to have a nurse to care, to tend to me, to nurture me. Maybe that will get me well. No, all that would do was exhaust the other person, you know. And these are compassionate people. I'm a compassionate person. Someone who's had a spiritual awakening, you know, is a compassionate person. That's been my experience. You know, they just change, you know, and but they're doing a disservice. You know, so I needed to be dropped. You know, dropped, it sounds like such a drop. You know, it's like in therapy, they tell you, I mean, you have to, you know, you have to, if someone is done with therapy, you know, this has to be a slow process. You don't just drop someone. So we get this notion that that's the same thing here. But, you know, tough love sometimes works, and it can be compassionate love on that basis where, you know, if someone's not willing, the willingness is a one-person job. It's not going to come from me. If there was the best sponsor, as if there was, right? If there was the best sponsor in the world, that person could not get me well. Couldn't do it. It had to come, the willingness to find a higher power of my understanding had to come from me. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Larry. And Kim, please go ahead.
Thanks, Kathy. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. If he's not interested in your solution, if he expects you to act as a banker or his financial difficulties or a nurse for his sprees, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. You know, I find most common someone want me to be their counselor. They want to be a place where they can get comfortable for the moment. They're looking for a temporary respite. I just need to vent. I just need to talk about how much my boss is pissing me off or my husband is pissing me off. So one of the things I encourage my sponsees to do when they start sponsoring is get quiet. Get quiet with God and ask how you can most effectively carry this message. And be clear what your purpose is. Be clear on what we're offering. What are you offering? What is your purpose? Our primary purpose is to carry the message to those who still suffer. And that message is the 12 steps. So that is the purpose of working with someone. And what I'm offering is the 12 steps. I'm not offering to be anyone's diet buddy. I'm not offering to be someone's counselor. I mean, I think about the fact that, you know, I am a 47-year-old woman who's never had children and has never been married. And I can't even tell you before I became a student of the Big Book how many times I told people how to handle their marriages, how many times I told people how to raise their children. How arrogant of me and how exhausting. No wonder I couldn't help a lot of people because they were coming for me to solve their problems and I was arrogantly trying to solve them. So what am I offering? I am offering the solution. That is it. I am being very clear from the beginning. I am here. We are here to go through these first 164 pages. If you have some questions, we'll take a couple of minutes. If you need to talk to someone about your day, call someone else. Call someone else because I am here to carry this message. And this is what I'm going to require. We're allowed to require things. How do you want someone to handle meetings? Do you want them to attend Vision for You every day, which is one of my requirements? How do you want to handle them going to face-to-face meetings? Do you want them to make phone calls? Are you someone that likes to have them do writing assignments? You know, how do you want to handle the food? Do you want it to be committed on a daily basis? Do you want to handle via email, by phone? We need to get quiet and realize that because we need to let people know realistically what we require. They need to make an informed decision. I learned this from teachers. You are tough in the beginning, so they have the expectations, and then you can loosen up at the end. You can't start out loosey-goosey at the beginning of the school year because the kids will run over you. and I find the same thing. I owe them the dignity to let them know what I'm offering so they can make an informed decision. And it says here, you may have to drop him if he's not ready. I have to tell you, I get fired a lot because people want to be counseled. People want a diet buddy, but that's not what I'm offering. So it says here, if he is not interested in your solution, you may have to drop him. If he is sincerely interested, then proceed. Then proceed. So I, as a sponsor, think about that. But as a sponsee, if you're in this meeting, what do you want? Do you want a temporary respite? Do you want a diet buddy? Do you want someone who's going to try to solve your problems or let you, because that's known for a little while? Or are you looking for a real solution? Are you looking for a spiritual experience sufficient to bring about recovery so that you will no longer want the food? Because that is what we're offering. We're offering a program that will get you connected with a higher power so you no longer have to be strong enough and be on guard, but that you can have a life where you are no longer going to want your binge foods. And if that is what you want, let's get to it and get to those steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Tim. Who else would like to share in these paragraphs?
Rakesa from California.
Okay, Rakesa, go ahead, please.
Okay. If he's not interested in your solution, if he expects you to act only as a banker for his financial difficulties or a nurse for his sprees, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. This hits me because for 15 years, when I came into OA in 1999, I didn't know anything about a 12-step program, and then I started learning, and I went into a faction of OA that was very strict food plan, very strict sponsoring, very strict tools that you had to follow, and so right away, I thought that this was what I had to do because I was told this is what I had to do to get abstinent and stay abstinent. And it never worked for me. I have to know in those 15 years how many different sponsors I had, how many people I chased down to make me abstinent. I expected my sponsor to make me abstinent. I didn't at all count on God. I counted on my sponsor. And when my sponsor let me down, forget it. I was out there. It was just an excuse. And even my sponsor didn't let me down. There's something wrong with that sponsor. Something with her food plan for me. You know, she's giving me a food plan that's just not right for me. And so many excuses, so many excuses. And finally, after 15 years of this, I had sponsors for 15 years, whether I was eating or not, trying to get abstinent and stay abstinent, and I just couldn't. And after 15 years of doing this, I was so exhausted. I came to Vision for You, and I listened for a long while, and I just became so exhausted. And when I relapsed one more time, I said, you know, I just can't do this anymore by myself or with the sponsor. I need to rely completely and totally on God. God is the only thing in my life that can make me abstinent. And it'll come by itself by turning to God, by asking God, by doing the work that's outlined in this book. And it's not any other person. And it was such a relief. It was such a realization. I've heard people on this line talk about doing the steps by themselves without a sponsor. How remarkable is that? And it can be done. I really do believe it can be done. I counted so much on sponsors for 15 years. I never relied on God. My reliance was on my sponsor and sometimes on myself. And when I failed, I wanted my sponsor to feel sorry for me and to take care of me and to nurture me. You know, but I didn't need that. I needed somebody to tell me the only way you're going to change your life is by relying on God. And thank you for letting me share like that.
Thank you, Rakesa.
This is Bella. Can I share?
Yes, Bella. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Bella, and I am a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Katie, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. If he is not interested, if it's a condition, and in any relationship, we need at least two people. And even though I am, thank God, recovery, I am not perfect, and I am still human with my character defect. And I have to remember that I am not responsible for other people's behavior, beliefs, or life. And I have to remember that I don't have the power for other people. I have to remember that I don't anymore want to be a people pleaser. So I have to do my part. Yes, I am responsible to do service, to welcome a newcomer, to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I am here to be with him, to understand him, to help him. But if he is not interested, I cannot bring him to be interested. Maybe it's not his time yet. Maybe he is not willing yet. Maybe he can't yet do the program. It's okay. I still have to accept him, respect him, but I don't have to be, let's say, his sponsor, or, you know, and I might drop him. And it doesn't mean that I am not good. It doesn't mean that I didn't do my job. It means that I am here to give over God's message and not mine. And there are other people. And maybe I finish my job and God has other people to be his messengers. But to remember, I have to remember that I cannot force nobody. This is not my job. My job is to share my experience, strength, and hope. And to do that, I have to give over God's message and not mine. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. Is there anyone else who wants to share on these before we move on?
Sarah?
Go ahead, Sarah.
Good morning,
Leah.
Okay, Sarah and then Leah. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Thank you for your service. Good morning. This is Sarah W. from Iowa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. You know, I see in this paragraph, it says, if he expects you to act only as a banker for his financial difficulties or a nurse for his sprees. You know, 4 years into recovery, I ended up getting divorced, and I was really in a financial bind. And I had a wonderful friend in recovery that was very well off and was able to lend me $1,000, which I paid back in full. And also, my husband has a person that he sponsors that ended up in some trouble that we ended up helping, that we felt was responsible enough to pay us back, which he has been. And so I don't see, the reason I bring it up and I look at it so closely is this is a fellowship. I mean, you know, it becomes like a family. We truly care about each other. And I'm not here to save anyone, but if someone comes to me and they're really working their program and they're showing me that they're changing and they're living it and not just looking for a handout, but sincerely need some help, I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is carrying an alcoholic or carrying a compulsive overeater completely. And, you know, we all do sponsor differently. And I think what was brought up was very, very interesting because I had a conversation with somebody yesterday about this. You know, we sponsor differently and we come in with different needs. I'm not here to save anybody. I'm not a counselor. Basically, I don't need to direct anybody in what their life should be unless they ask me for what I would do or give my experience of what I have done. So you know, and I have to say that the last sentence, of course, of the second paragraph is so important. You know, in the second step, you know, coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. I think that's oftentimes it's not just a first step issue when someone has a slip, but it's a second step issue. We have to want a power greater than ourselves. If we get into the place where we finally have the admission that I am a real compulsive overeater and I'm not able to say that there is hope that something better is out there, I'm going to go back to the food. I have to find that I have a need, a very strong need, so great that something better, you know, that there's something better out there that can restore me. And as my sponsor says, I never got restored because I never had it before. I kind of feel the same way. I never had sanity before. And what the steps have offered me is sanity. So, you know, we can't force anybody. We can't shove the program down someone's throat. People have to want it. And as people say in here, and I love that, you know, it's not for people who need it, who want it, but it's for people that do it. And doing it does take a lot. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, Dr. Silkworth wrote a little excerpt, an extra letter that was sent to me today from somebody. And the crux of it was that, you know, we have a human condition, and the human condition is just like anything else. If someone has heart problems or even tuberculosis, this is what he was quoting, you know, and they go into some kind of remission through treatment. At some point, we may decide that we don't want to continue with that treatment because we think that we have arrived, that we are better, that we don't need the treatment any longer. And that is where the slip or the relapse comes in, and I so agree with it. You know, it takes a lot of effort to do the program, but it is so well worth it, and I'm so grateful for it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. And Leah, please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for your service. It says you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. This he may do after he gets hurt some more. I mean, you know, it's kind of humorous, you know, here these, you know, 100 recovered men, you know, and women who pen these pages coming together with their collective voice, their collective wisdom and experience, write these statements here. You may have to drop him until he changes his mind, as he may do after he gets hurt some more. I mean, a book that was penned in the effort to help an alcoholic is saying, you know what, let him go out and do some more research and development. You know, it's not the only place in the text that suggests that. You know, why is that? Well, you know, there's nothing worse than a head full of OA and a belly full of food. You know, sometimes it is that pain. At least that was true for me. You know, pain was the greatest motivator to effectuate change in someone like me, a real compulsive overeater like me. It took a lot of pain and a lot of tears to realize there was no door number three. You know, I was either just going to continue to eat myself into oblivion, disaster, and eventual death, or I was going to have to submit myself, surrender myself to this process. And there was no door number three. And I had to get to the point where I was going to be as open-minded to conviction about this and as willing to listen as the dying could be. And yes, I got to that point. It goes on and it says, you know, if he is to find God, the desire must come from within. You know, willingness is a one-person job. I had to be willing to walk a path I had never walked before and to experience a God I had never experienced before. And that was going to be through the application of these steps. You know, this literature is making it clear here that, you know, a sponsor, a guide, a step guide is not a parent, not a banker, not a disciplinarian. You know, we're not an employer, and we're not, you know, someone who's holding, you know, a heavy rod above your head. Bill was quite clear about that, that there are only two disciplines in Alcoholics Anonymous, alcohol and God. And that was true for me, too. There was only going to be two masters for someone like me. It was either going to be addiction, compulsive overeating, or God. And if I was not surrendering to one, then I was going to be surrendering to the other. The choice was mine to make. So, yes, a sponsor has to be rigorous, about these principles and willing to tell you the truth and hold a person accountable. And, you know, that is an act of tough love. A sponsor, cares enough to be willing to hurt your feelings and is not personally or emotionally invested in your recovery, but is totally 100% there to support it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Let's move on to the next paragraph now. And Anita L., would you read it for us?
Sure. Hi, I'm Anita L., a recovered compulsive overeater and food addict from Philadelphia. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to follow his own conscience. We have no monopoly on God. We merely have an approach that worked with us. But point out that we alcoholics have much in common and that you would like, in any case, to be friendly. Let it go at that. Well, the part that really hits me and that I underlined heavily is that this approach worked with us. You know, like what was shared already, I can only share something with someone else what worked for me, what I can relate to. Because if I try and sound like I know all the answers and I really don't, then I'm going to get tripped up. Believe me, I gave, when I was younger, I gave lectures in my profession that I wasn't really totally knowledgeable on it, and it sounded like it. So I can't try and fake it. I have to be real. It has to come from my heart. And I believe that I passed over from being a hard eater into a real compulsive overeater and food addict at the age of 9 or 10. I'm going to be 60 in a month. So I've had a lot of experience knowing what works and what doesn't. And I tried everything on my own. And they say, this is the last train in the station. This is the last house on the block. And for me, I'm telling you, I feel so happy right now. I am bursting with love and serenity and inner peace and joy that I have never felt. Well, I can't say never felt because I have had years of recovery in the program. However, right now, because I'm enlarging my spiritual life on a daily basis, I am really feeling happy, joyous, and free. And it's only because this power within me, who I call God, it's my definition of God. It's nobody else has the exact definition of their higher power as I do. And because I can latch on to my higher power and trust her, him, that, you know, he will take me to a good place. It may not be a great place. It may not be a fun place all the time, which it hasn't been. However, I know that I will be okay. My life will be okay if I follow God's paths. And so that's all I can share with somebody else, that this has worked for me, that I was willing to do this work. One of my sponsees said to me a couple days ago, boy, this is a lot of work. And I said, it is, and it's worth it. If you really want to feel well, all of you, be a whole being, then, you know, welcome. Welcome, and if you follow what I did, what my sponsor, what my guide helped me to do, then it will work. And if it worked for me, believe me, somebody who was constantly back in the food, then it can work for you too. So with that, I pass. Thank you, everybody, and thanks for your service, Kathy.
Thank you, Anita. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Janice.
Sally.
Okay, I hear Janice and Sally.
Thank
you. Go ahead, Janice.
Well, thank you, and good morning to you, Kathy. This is Janice M. from Massachusetts. I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Boy, do I identify with this particular paragraph, and I'll tell you why. Because I thought for years and years, decades, that I could do the job without the program. I mean, I really did. Like the previous Shara said, and I heard it, oh, this is the last house on the block. And I sat there and said, oh, no, it isn't. Because of my defiance, because of myself, that I still had reservations in 1982 that I was going to find a way out. I was going to find a method. I felt I had more than anybody else about certain things that I would find the way. Huh. And it took me decades to finally surrender. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way, and I said, well, I have a God, I'll just go to my God, you know. Yeah, that was good, but it didn't work. You know, I still have that same God, but I'm doing something different. And the thing is, we have to, at least I had to, have no reservations that nothing else would work. I had to experience that, otherwise I'd still be looking. And for me, I couldn't find another way. And, you know, I love this book, and I always liked it on page XXI when the people that have gone before us have recovered, they said, you know, we don't have any monopoly. You know, that's our great hope. If by chance you don't have an answer yet, try this. Begin to, you know, we hope that you can try this. We don't own anything here, but this is the way, this is the method that worked for me. And I will do anything, just to encourage people who are ready, that I will do anything that will help you. I'm not responsible for your recovery. Only God is responsible for, that's his gift to us. That's why the second part of this step says we try to carry this message. It doesn't say we will give you, as a recovered compulsive overeater, the results. We don't say that. We try to carry the message. That's all we're trying to do. And if you have not yet found a solution, try it. Try it. And that was my way out. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice. And Sally, please go ahead.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. Good morning, A Vision for You. It's Sally A. in South Jersey, a recovered compulsive overeater. And I would just like to share on these first three words, if he thinks. These are very important words. We see here, what I see here is sort of a Bermuda Triangle. It starts on the opposite side of the page at the bottom of that, I think it's the second paragraph, at the very bottom. It says, this is all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. So we see here, we're beginning this concept of, is this guy ready? Does he feel hopeless? And then we come across the page, right across the page, if he is not interested in your solution. And the next paragraph, if he is sincerely interested, the converse. But then coming down, if he thinks he can do the job in some other way. And I find that those words, if he thinks, are really crucial words. Because we see in the in earlier in the book, in the doctor's opinion, it's actually on page XXIX, it says on that page, the only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules. Men have cried out to me in sincere
and despairing appeal. Doctor, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. You must help me. But the key words here to me are the only effort necessary being that required to follow. To follow. That's what I had to do when I came to my sponsor. I had to be willing to follow. I had to let her throw me a stick and pull me out of the quicksand that I was sinking in. I spent my whole life sinking in that quicksand. It didn't matter if I was abstinent. I was white-knuckling abstinent for years of white-knuckling abstinent, and that wasn't enough. I was so tired. After over 40 years of struggling with this obsessive mind condition, we say this condition that says that the greater aspect of our disease is the mental obsession. Oh, my goodness. I was so tired of the mental obsession. Sure, I could control. Page 30 talks five times in a row on that page. And across the page, two more times on page 31, it uses the word control. I could control. I could control a lot of things. I had a lot of self-discipline. I have lots of education, lots of musical ability, lots of discipline. But when it came to this one spoke of the hubcap of my life, think of an old catalog with these wonderful spoked hubcaps. I had this one spoke that was full of rust. I was diseased. I was sick in my mind. And so when that guy, when that new person comes to me and he is still thinking, there it is again, that's where I'm going back to the page, if he thinks, if he's still thinking, he's not ready. When he says to me, well, Sally, I don't understand why. Well, that's because you're still thinking. And when it comes to this disease, we've got to stop thinking unless you're recovered so that you can let somebody throw you a stick and pull you out of the quicksand. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Sally. And this is Kathy. I'd like to take a moment
it's
to
Edini.
Share. Who's that?
I'm sorry. It's Edini.
Okay, Edini, go ahead. I'll go after you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Kathy, for all that you do for us. Good morning, my spiritual brothers and sisters. My name is Irini, and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. We merely have an approach that worked with us. Merely, it means only and purely and solely. And in the previous paragraph, it says, if he is to find God, the desire must come from within. Well, what does that really mean to them? I know what it means to me after I had my spiritual awakening, but what does it really mean to them? And it's my mission in life through my acts to show what that means to me. That's my desire in my heart that brought me out of this darkness that they are in. And because they're in darkness, they cannot really see what is reality and what is the truth. So I need to show that light of the Spirit within me, and may it shine, and may they see that light. And hopefully, through their darkness, they can see that light and not only see it, but want it as well. And it's about showing them the change from where I used to be in the same darkness that I came out of, and that what God would have me be today. And it's showing this spiritual transformation through my attitude and behavior that resulted in this new way of living, that I carry God as he carries me, and that shows in my daily existence, and that's my desire. And they need to see that, and then not only see that, but have the willingness and to be ready to want the same desire. I thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Irini. This is Kathy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I want to comment on the sentence, we had no monopoly on God. we merely had have an approach that worked with us. Well, my path was a very rocky one. It took me repeated work with the steps to get to a point where I had a spiritual awakening. And so when I started sponsoring, I was really concerned that I didn't necessarily have what it takes to help another suffering compulsive overeater to have a spiritual experience. After so many years of being an agnostic, and then a number of years after that, trying to find God, I just didn't know if I was sufficiently recovered and could help someone do that work. What my experience has been is by sharing my experience with a sponsee, I actually have been helpful to them in accepting that each of us has a unique path to God. I share what I have done over the years to develop a concept of God and my higher power. And I also share the resistance I had to doing that. And, you know, it's so humbling and also gratifying to realize today that my struggle with finding God and developing a relationship, a vital relationship with my higher power, is so valuable in guiding others. I guess that's why it says we won't regret the past. The past that I've gone through in order to get to where I am today, as painful as it was at times, has equipped me to be helpful to others. And with that, I pass. Is there anyone else who'd like to share on this paragraph?
Judy F.
Go ahead, Judy.
Thank you, Kathy, for your service. This is Judy F., compulsive overeater recovered and very grateful. And I wanted to hone in on but point out that we alcoholics have much in common and that you would like in any case to be friendly. Let it go at that. And lately I've been able to talk to newcomers and those coming back from relapse. And it is so important for me. I felt this terminal uniqueness. I would come in and just compare myself out. Well, not that bad. Well, I don't do that. Well, I don't have that problem. Well, they don't have what I have. And I can relay that experience to the newcomers. And I found just even this week, a couple of people said, wow, you really got that? Like, I'll go through what my thinking was like. And that's really, we have a lot in common, but it's our basic common is that our thinking, like, that obsessive mind and really relate in how I had my beliefs, how I went through life. It was more than just binging and purging and trying to control the food. It was how I looked at, like, what my beliefs were, how I thought, I can't share that with anyone or I can't depend on anyone. And just kind of going through that to show how, like, and that's what I related to when people really told me how they thought. And then I realized I need more help than just a food plan. And then I can tell them, too, on how I think today and how I bring God into everything and how peaceful I feel and how there's no better feeling than them waking up and not having, you know, the pain of what I did the night before, but also that, you know, getting out the bat at myself and then not having, you know, relationships that work and, you know, fighting, being in that fighting mode. But, and the other thing is, you know, I can share my experience. I don't have to, you know, convince anyone. I'm not here. I'm not debating anyone. I'm not trying to, it's attraction, not promotion. And I can just want to be friends with them. And that's, it's a beautiful thing because that's what they're going to be remembering. Not that I knew exactly what in the big book to quote, but how kind and loving I was. And that I have no, you know, this is about their experience, their path. I can share what my path's been, but they have their path, and I'm there to support them in however way they need it. And it's a process, and I know that today, that we all have our own processes, and God's in charge of it. So I can just be one of many, be a bozo on the bus, but I do have a solution that's worked for me for almost 23 years, and I'm just so grateful for that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Okay, it's now time for us to bring the meeting to a close. Thank you, everyone who has read and listened and shared. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Larry, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Larry, press star one. Are you there? How about Idini? Are you there, Idini?
Yes, yes.
Can you read it for us, please?
Yes, of course.
Thank you so much.
Good morning, once again, my spiritual brothers and sisters. My name is Idini, and I am a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I always thank God for that. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.